This is the Joey Salazar Leadership Podcast.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to today's episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. I wonder, have you ever said the following statement, "If only I had more time"? I know I've said that before. I know I've been in seasons and in weeks where at the end of my week, I've looked at what I did and I felt exhausted. Yet at the same time, I'm like, what did I do? And did I even do anything productive? Gio, have you ever felt like that before?
Absolutely. I've had those long days and you feel like you did a lot, but then you're like, what did I get done? So I definitely need to hear this podcast. So I'm ready to receive it.
The truth of the matter is that oftentimes, if not all the time, more time to our day really wouldn't make a big difference. It wouldn't be a game changer, because if we can't manage 24 hours well, then how are we going to be able to manage 36 or 72? And so if you think about it, anybody who made a significant impact in this world, whether you're talking about the Bible or talking about history, athlete, musician, whoever who really changed the course of history, or whoever really just left an imprint in history, they only also had 24 hours. And so the answer isn't to get more time. It's what are we going to do with the time that we do have? And there's a statement I came across a while ago that has really impacted and challenged me. And it's the following: there is time for everything if you schedule it correctly. And so today, the topic of our episode is 6 words to help maximize your time. And the first thing that I want to challenge and encourage you to do is to track your time if you're not. Because these 6 words, you're going to need to be able to look back at your week and remember clearly. And so you need data. I don't want you just to kind of imagine and just have hypotheticals. You got to really have data. And so before you even apply these 6 words, you need to track your week. And what does that look like? It looks like having a spreadsheet. It looks like having a piece of paper. It looks like having an app, maybe, where you write down, hey, I woke up at this time and I went to sleep at this time. I was at church for these hours. I was at work for these hours. I went on a date at this time, and I was on social media. I was watching TV. And you can't lie, okay? Because it's not going to work the same if you modify the data, right? It's okay. It's okay to start where you're at, but you got to start by tracking your time so that at the end of the week, you can do a little bit of math and be like, wow, man, I didn't sleep enough. Or you know what? Wow, I might have spent a little too much time on social media or something like that. I think it's important that if we budget our money, I think the same should apply to our time. I know one of the things in my relationship with my wife that we've been working on is our finances, and we're giving every dollar a name. And I think the same principle applies to our time. You got to give every moment, every minute, every hour a name. And so these 6 words are going to help you maximize your time. And the first one is automate. That's right, it's automate. And the question you're answering here is, what happens every week or more than once on a regular schedule? So for example, if you have an appointment that you know it's going to happen, you know, whether you want it or not, every month, then set that up in a way to where you have to spend very little energy setting that up every month. If you know you need to have, you know, you need to go to practice for a sport maybe you play or one of your kids plays or something happening at the church, again, what can you already establish on your schedule that is going to take care of itself? Very practical. Like, I get haircuts every 2 weeks, and that's something that I don't even have to set up anymore because my barber knows that I'm going to go in at this time on this date. Again, so that we don't have to spend as much energy trying to set up meetings, trying to set up meals. On another practical level, I now have a webpage. I was noticing that a lot of people, they would come to me and they would ask me the same question. Hey, when can I meet with you? When can we talk? When can we have lunch? And that's great. But the truth of the matter is, anything that gets repeated often enough to me is kind of like a little flag that says, hey, I need to set up some type of system so that I don't spend too much energy setting these things up and I can really focus on connecting with people. So I created a webpage and now I send them there. And now they can pick and choose what times and what days are available. Meals and meetings. We kind of do something between you and I, Gio. You want to tell everybody kind of what we do?
Right. Yeah. I've learned this principle from you where we meet now. I believe it's like every first Thursday of the month is set for lunch. And I've taken that a step further where like when meeting with the team, I meet with them every Wednesday at this time. Or if I'm doing a one-on-one with somebody, it's at this time and it's every other week. And it's all automated, you know, set on Google Calendar, send them the invite. And sometimes even I just use it as a placeholder. If we need to move it, we move it. We need to cancel it, we cancel it. But it's on the calendar and it's budgeted for that time.
So good. Yeah, like we know in my household when date night is. We know when family night is. We know when we're at church. We know. And so when the schedule is something new wants to get added to the schedule, you can kind of go back to look at your schedule and it helps you paint a picture very clearly. Second word we're going to focus on is delegate. And the question here that you're answering is who can help me with this? Believe it or not, like there are some people around you that are ready and available to help you, but don't know if we never ask. And maybe we don't because we see it as a sign of weakness or like we're going to bother people. But to be honest with you, asking for help, especially when it comes at a leadership level, which we're all leaders. If you're listening to this, you're a leader. Leaders asking for help is a sign of strength. And it's a way that we continue to build our team and the people around us. And so it's very, very important that we would definitely delegate and we evaluate. We look at these things on our list, on our schedules. Be like, is there somebody who can help me with this? Not everybody's got to get paid. Maybe you can't pay everybody. But maybe you can barter with somebody. You can do something for somebody in exchange for something else. Whenever we, I even wanted to start this podcast. You know what? I could have easily done it by myself, but I know without a shadow of a doubt, it was not going to be at the same level like it is now with you involved, Gio. And so I thank you for that, you know, and delegation is an area I know that we're both growing in and I'm excited for what God's doing in your life. You lead one of our teams at church. So you want to say a little bit about delegation?
Yeah, I'm still learning that. It's a work in progress for sure where, it's interesting. You say it's a sign of strength. I never really viewed it like that until now. I'm in a different position where I'm looking to now delegate or ask for help. And you're right, because it also, not only does it help you, but it makes the team better, right? It challenges them. And so this is good, man. And honestly, like I'm still struggling even how to delegate or how to ask, or how to be more, I guess, straightforward with it. Sometimes I could be indirect. My wife says I'm notorious for not asking for help, or sometimes I'll assume that she knew that I needed help, you know, and that I learned that I'm not communicating that correctly. So this is really helpful. Thank you.
There's definitely a process for delegation, and I'll quickly go over it. At first, you want to show somebody how it's done. So I'm going to do this for you. Whatever it is I'm asking you to do, I'm going to do it for you. You're going to watch me do it. Secondly, we're going to do it together. If we're working on a project, if we're working on an event or on a task, hey, we're going to work on this together so that if anything comes up, hey, we're in this together and we got this. Thirdly, you're going to do it and I'm going to watch. I'm not going to leave you yet. I'm going to observe. I'm going to give you some feedback. I'm going to be able to guide you in case you get stuck. And then lastly, now you go and you do this for somebody else. And that's leadership multiplication now. But there's definitely a process and it takes time. But nonetheless, all of us, there's probably some things on our schedules that we can delegate. The third word I want to share with you is eliminate. And the question here you're answering is, am I doing too much? I wonder if there's anybody's schedule out there who's just overloaded, who's just like packed, it's obese, you know, like it's just like there's no time to rest. And I think a question here you're going to answer is, why am I doing this? What's the motive behind this? Did you sign up for too many activities? Why are you asking for overtime? Are you doing it out of a financial need? Are you doing it just because you want to look important in front of people? I think it's interesting how sometimes, if we're not careful, we'll see busyness as a badge of honor. You know, like, hey, look at me. I'm busy, guys. You know, we even walk a little different, you know, or we answer different when somebody comes up to me, you know, and hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm good. You know, just busy, 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 you know, and almost as if like, what, you want me to like a pat on the back? You want an award? Like, what's going on? I think it's important that we would eliminate that, you know, because I think that's a way that I don't think we should see it.
Hey, it's interesting you say that. Maybe we could maybe change the answer. You know, when instead of them saying, I'm busy, 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 you could say, oh, I'm eliminating. I'm eliminating. Or I'm delegating. Oh, me? I'm just automating. And they're going to be like, what are you talking about? And he's like, well, you got to listen to Joey Salazar Leadership Podcast, man. It's really helpful. So that's good, man. I love that.
That's where you plug in the podcast. Absolutely. But I think it's important that you ask yourself, hey, why am I doing this? And again, just remember that if and when you can't do something in this season, in this moment, it doesn't mean that you might not be able to ever do it again. You know, when things change, you can again apply it again. You can bring it back into your life. But be careful to not overpack and eliminate some of these things. The fourth word is procrastinate. That's right, procrastinate. Now, before your mind goes too wild on this particular word, I feel that I'm going to stand up for the word procrastinate, because I feel like that word gets a bad vibe a lot of times. There's a negative connotation around it. Like, hey, don't procrastinate ever. Well, I'm going to actually tell you to procrastinate sometimes, but procrastinate on purpose. Because the question here that you're answering is, when is this due? When is this task due? When is this project due? When is this meeting really need to happen? Because if you can be honest with yourself, everything that comes across your desk, everything that comes to your life, you don't need to oftentimes get it done by tomorrow. And so why do we pack our days? Why do we work, you know, stay up late at night for a project that you have 3 weeks on? And so procrastinate it. Push it off until a little bit later. Start it next week, but don't overpack your today. Procrastinate. Set yourself up some realistic deadlines so that you can be effective and focus on everything. And that actually leads me to my fifth word, which is concentrate. Concentrate. That is the power of focus and being present wherever you are at. When you're looking, if you want to maximize your time, be present, be in the moment. The Bible even challenges us to make the most of every opportunity. And I think one of the things that has helped me out, and I think will help you out, is limiting multitasking. That's where you try to do too many things at the same time. Now, there are some people out there who might be great at this, but I, on the personal, am not. Like, I have to think about walking and breathing and blinking my eyes. You know, like, maybe that's a little dramatic, right? But nonetheless, if I have the ability, if I have on my list to do multiple things, I will take time to work on them one by one rather than at the same time on all three or on two things. Because the way I see it is, I'm 100% me. And the moment I begin to work on two different tasks, I'm splitting myself up. I'm not giving 100% to one task and 100% to another one. I'm giving 50% of me to one and 50% to another one. And what's happened in my experience is that I've taken longer to accomplish two things working on them at the same time rather than if I would have just focused on one at a time.
You know, I don't know why, but every time I try to concentrate and multitask, I try to convince myself that I'm a good multitasker. And every time I find out that I'm not.
Yeah.
And it's like that lizard that has, you know, the two eyes, like one eye this way, one eye. Like, you're not, you know, you're not focusing on one thing. You're not doing one thing good. You're doing two things bad.
That's good. That's key, man. And I think that if we're going to take it a step further, if you're going to be able to really focus and concentrate, you got to really identify time wasters. because it's not just multitasking. It's there might be some other things there that in your environment that are just distracting you and not setting you up to win. Maybe it's your phone. Maybe it's social media. Maybe it's notifications. Maybe it's your environment, your desk, where you work at. Maybe it's people. And it's so important that you would identify, hey, what are these things that are robbing me of my time, of my concentration, so that you can focus on what you got to do next. And then my last and sixth word here is evaluate. Because the truth of the matter is that what works in one season of your life might not work in another season of your life. And you got to be willing to change. If you're going to grow, if you're going to remain effective, as things come and go in your life and in your ministry and in your workplace, you've got to be willing to grow with them as well. Like it's been said before, if it's worth doing, it's worth evaluating. And so the question that you are answering here is this the best use of my time? That's a question I ask myself often. That's a question I ask my wife often as we plan our family activities, as we plan our events and just schedules and trips and just any decision, we're asking ourselves, hey, is this the best use of our time? And that's been a game changer. And we've said no to certain things. And we've said yes to other things. But all that, we've both been on the same page and we've both been able to go in. And again, our lives have changed, you know, from whether we were moving, whether a family member was being added to our family member, to our lives rather, you know, and it's been a total game changer.
Wow. So you evaluate everything?
Yes.
Now, then how often are you evaluating?
Great question. So I'm going to answer it in two ways. The first thing I'll say is whenever I've established anything new in my life, a new habit, new pattern, it requires more of my attention up front until it becomes just a natural part of me. And so when I'm establishing a new pattern, a new schedule and rhythm for my life, I'm looking at it almost daily at the beginning, just to make sure that, hey, I'm setting myself up to win, that I'm being realistic with myself. But then as time goes by, as things kind of settle into place, then I don't have to look at it as closely anymore. But the second part of my answer would be, I've also looked at this when there has been significant life change moments. So like, let's say my wife, who now is focused full-time on our wedding business, you know, and now she doesn't have the same schedule like she had before. Well, our life's changed. Our rhythms changed here at the house. So my schedule had to change a little bit more. When we went down to one car, you know, that living out of one car or just moving around, you know, with a one car, that'll bring some change too, you know? And so when the kids went back to school, you know, when they were at home. And so there's just different seasons of life and in church as well, where it's a little bit busier than others. And so in what I call the ideal week, or what Michael Hyatt had taught me, the ideal week, which is what we're talking about right here, tracking your day, tracking your week, and then planning accordingly. Like I've had to change that multiple times so that it could match with what my life looks like right now.
Wow, that's so good.
So I believe that these six words, if we apply them, if we take time to really focus on them, they'll really help us maximize our time. And again, like I said earlier, hey, we all only have 24 hours. My expectation for you is not that you would change 100% from one day to the next, but what's one thing you can do? What's one of these six words that really stands out to you? Or maybe you're not even ready for these six words. Right now, maybe you're at the level where you can just track your time. Wherever you're at, I believe there is a clear next step for you. Thank you so much for joining us today. We'll talk to you next time.
Thank you for tuning in. For more information and additional resources, check out joeysalazar.org and follow him on Instagram at joeysalazar. Please feel free to rate, review, share, and subscribe. Once again, thank you so much for joining the Joy Salazar Leadership Podcast.